Now, 16 Michigan Republicans were charged with felonies last month for signing and submitting papers claiming that they were electors for Donald Trump in the 2020 presidential election after Joe Biden carried that state. Here in Wisconsin, 10 Republicans also signed papers claiming they were electors. They aren't facing criminal charges, but a civil suit against them is going ahead after a court ruling yesterday. Governor Evers and others have called for criminal investigations. The so-called fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, and five other states are key parts of the latest federal indictments against former President Trump for his actions after the 2020 election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these would-be electors? Do you think they should face criminal charges here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Molly Beck is the senior capital reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Can you take us back to 2020, December, the Democratic electors, after Joe Biden had won the state, they're signing their elector papers. What else was going on with the Republicans we're talking about?
Yeah, so I was covering the Capitol at the time, and we heard while the Democratic electors were meeting in the Capitol, we heard there was a group of Republicans meeting in the Capitol at the same time, potentially to sign similar paperwork. And so all of that turned out to be true, as we know now. And at the time, the Republicans were arguing similar arguments they're making today, that they were signing this paperwork just in case legal challenges to the outcome of the election were successful in Wisconsin. They met after sort of the last ditch effort by former President Donald Trump and his supporters. You know, that last lawsuit failed and the Supreme Court tossed it. They signed the paperwork anyway, but there wasn't a legal challenge at play at that moment when they did that.
As I mentioned, in Michigan, we have these criminal charges against the people who did a similar thing in Michigan. As far mm-hmm. as we know, the big question mark, there's no similar investigation, at least not publicly acknowledged here in Wisconsin. What have the Attorney General and others said about that?
That's right. The Attorney General, Josh Call, has avoided talking about this in specifics. I know that, like you mentioned, the Democratic Governor, Tony Evers, he said recently that he believes that the group of Republicans who signed that false paperwork should be held accountable by the justice system. Josh Call has avoided, you know, weighing in on that one way or the other. At one point earlier this summer, the governor said that he believed the attorney general was kind of leaning on federal investigators to handle the accountability aspect, and that he supported that. So his latest statement is a bit of a shift, but we still don't know, you know, exactly what the State Department of Justice is doing, if anything at all.
And you've covered some breaking news this week. Now, no criminal case going on here, but there's a civil suit going on, and it took a step forward yesterday. What's going on?
That's right. There's a civil case that is brought by the actual 2020 electors, the Democrats who signed paperwork for Joe Biden, who won Wisconsin in 2020 by about 20,000 votes. They filed a lawsuit against the Republican electors who claimed to be the correct electors, but were not. And that case is set for trial next year in September of 2024. So just, you know, a couple months before the next presidential election. There was a motion to dismiss the case that came from the defendants that Dane County Judge Frank Remington on Thursday, he rejected that motion to dismiss the case. One of the arguments that the Republicans made was that their actions did not amount to participating in a conspiracy to defraud Wisconsin voters. He rejected that argument in his order.
This whole story, Molly, is getting new attention now because of the latest federal indictments against former President Trump, because these self-proclaimed electors are a key part of the alleged in these indictments conspiracy by the former president and his supporters. This is mm-hmm. seems like it's revived a lot of interest in the elector story, right?
Yeah, I mean the latest indictment of former President Trump, it really hinges on this fake elector strategy that it looks like a Wisconsin attorney was the first person to be notified of. You know, it kind of, you know, started in Wisconsin in some ways. So I know in Wisconsin at least there is a renewed interest. I wouldn't say that the interest went away since this first happened. I receive a lot of reader emails about it, and especially with the U.S. House investigation in January 6th, there was a lot of information about this fake elector strategy during the course of that too. So it's been something that I think have been on, you know, readers' minds and certainly the people involved.
Molly, we'll leave it there. Thanks for bringing us up to date.
Thank you for having me.
That's Molly Beck, senior Capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us for a look at the latest news on the Republicans who signed papers claiming to be Wisconsin electors for Donald Trump after the 2020 presidential election. Our next guest is a politics and law expert joining us for a look at possible legal consequences for the so-called fake electors here in Wisconsin and the role of the Electoral College in general. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts or questions about the campaign to have people sign these elector papers in states that Joe Biden had won? Thoughts on the Electoral College itself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Adam Kuntz is an assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We have these charges in Michigan. We have some calls for charges here in Wisconsin for the Republicans who signed these elector papers. One tricky thing here is that, Adam, it doesn't seem like we have a lot of precedent to go by. We don't have a lot of comparable stories over American history, do we?
No, we really don't. Honestly, we're in uncharted territory in a lot of ways. You see shenanigans like this happening with the Electoral College back in the 19th century, but nothing to this magnitude, and certainly not anything in the last, perceivable lifetime. So this is new, and there aren't a ton of cases out there that I think we can really draw from to give us some guidance as to what would happen here in Wisconsin.
Now, there's two different threads on the elector story when it comes to courts of law. We have this federal indictment saying, hey, there is a conspiracy by the former president and his supporters to use these electors to gin up a claim of contested elections in states. But in the individual states, like here in Wisconsin, as we just heard from Molly, the individual Republicans who signed these things were saying, hey, no, we're just doing this in case courts flip this thing. We have to have these electors in place in that contingency. Does that seem like two potentially very different court cases with that federal one versus what's going on in the states?
You know, it seems like it's all different from one another, but it really is wrapped up the same. And that's partially because of what the Constitution does. The Constitution anticipates that we're going to have federal elections like those for the president, but it leaves it to the states to decide how those elections get done. And so there's always been this very, very complex interplay between what the federal government oversees with regard to elections and then what the states do on the ground to actually get those people elected. So on the one hand, we have these investigations into President Trump, former President Trump, his advisors, what they knew, what they were intending to have done. And then we have the real actors on the ground, the foot soldiers, the ones who are actually using state law to enact or pursue the election route that they're on. And the two really blend very well together. And individuals who would be considered to be fake electors could potentially be charged under both federal and state laws, because there are two tiers of laws that we're talking about here.
One seemingly small distinction that could be important. Now, in Pennsylvania, and I think also New Mexico, the Republicans who signed these papers included a clause that says something like, we're the electors if the courts rule and overturn what we now see as the outcome. Wisconsin, Michigan, that wasn't part of the statement. Is that important?
I think at least if I were a person in Pennsylvania, I'd definitely be hanging my hat on that phrasing for sure. And I believe I can't remember which Trump attorney it was, but they expressed some doubt here in Wisconsin as well. But that language was actually not put on any of the filings that came from Wisconsin, along with five of the other states. And interestingly enough, Wisconsin's certification that was sent was virtually identical in every other way to the other five states. I mean, the seal that was put on it looked like it was literally photocopied. So we're talking about the exact same document being filed in multiple different states. I don't think when it comes to the prosecution on the state side here in Wisconsin, the claim that, well, we were waiting to see whether or not litigation was going to go through is really going to have much of a leg to stand on, because as Molly pointed out in the previous segment, these filings were done well after the litigation was over here in Wisconsin. So the December 14th meeting happened well after any kind of claim that, well, we're waiting to see what happens when this litigation concludes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Christine is with us in Eau Claire. Christine, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on the program this evening. I honestly, when I heard this happened in 2020, I was just mortified, and I'm still mortified that these people, when they're false electors, they tried to defraud the people who voted for Joe Biden. If I made a mistake and voted twice, there would be severe consequences for me personally. I don't understand why we've waited so long to do something about them trying to defraud the people who voted for Joe Biden. It's so wrong.
Christine,
thank you.
Christine, thanks for the call. Adam, what do you think?
Well, I have two thoughts. One is I commiserate with Christine in that it seems like the wheels of justice move very slowly. I commend the folks in Michigan who are moving on this fairly quickly. They have evidence in front of them that they, you know, prosecutors feel very comfortable taking something to trial if they know they have the evidence to convict. And Josh Call is being careful about this. I want to trust that he is doing his job as a good attorney general would and looking at the facts. So I commiserate with that. The second part of this, though, is that the civil litigation is currently pending right now, which is a unique thread here in Wisconsin, that we have a class of people who are actually suing these individuals basically on behalf of all of us here in the state of Wisconsin. And so there could be, I'm reading the tea leaves here, there could be an effort on the part of the prosecutors to kind of wait and see what happens. With this motion to dismiss that was rejected, they're going to move now into the discovery phase of that civil litigation, which is going to uncover a whole trove of information over the next year that might prove potentially useful in a criminal investigation.
Christine, thanks for that call. We're talking to UW-Eau Claire political science professor Adam Kuntz about whether we might see prosecution of the 10 Wisconsin Republicans who signed documents claiming to be electors for Donald Trump after the 2020 election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think these so-called fake electors should face some kind of consequences for this? Or do you agree with their argument that, hey, they were keeping their legal options open if a court still went on to flip the election in favor of Donald Trump in that year? Join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Adam Kuntz, assistant professor of political science at UW-Eau Claire. We're talking about the Wisconsin Republicans who signed documents claiming to be electors for Donald Trump after the 2020 election, whether they might face criminal charges. You could join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Adam, briefly before I go back to our callers, 2020 saw some strains in the use of the Electoral College. A lot of these things were formalities in most other elections. They were used as points of attack to try to change the outcome. Do you see a need for clarifications, changes into the Electoral College process from, you know, Election Day to Inauguration Day?
You know, my opinion of this comes both as a citizen, which is something that I think everybody should have, but also as somebody who studies this as an expert. And to be quite honest with you, the Electoral College really is something that's been in need of an update for a very long time. It began as basically this separate institution. Alexander Hamilton envisioned it as a board of people that would ultimately be deciding the president. We would have some say in choosing who those individuals were, but ultimately they got to be the ones to make the call. We have to point out at that time period, though, in 1776, there were 2.5 million people, and in 1790, there were 3.9 million people in the United States. And if my math is correct, that's, you know, well under the size of the population of just Wisconsin alone. And so you do kind of have to wonder if popular sovereignty and direct democracy are things that we should care a little bit more about. We have made inroads with that, with the Electoral College. We have added more democratic elements to it. For example, many states now send all of their popular votes towards their electors that are going to be chosen for the Electoral College. Here in Wisconsin, we say, if you win the state of Wisconsin with the popular vote, you get all of the electors, which is why behind the story of all this, there's two groups of electors. There's the Democratic electors that were ultimately the ones certified, and then these 10 Republican electors that were trying to be certified. And I think there's so many ways that you can improve upon it, but one very easy way to improve upon the Electoral College is to just simply shift to a popular system that uses what often gets referred to as a ranked choice system. Instead of simply just voting for a candidate and calling it done, you rank those that you are from, you know, best to least favorite. And then you do a series of runoff elections that choose from those top three, top two, et cetera, until you narrow down to that one person. But this process of voters voting for people who then ultimately are certifying things to state legislatures, who then certify something to Congress, who then certify something to the American people, that's 5, 6, 7 layers of decision making that needs to be done, which just opens the door to all manner of what I tell my students are shenanigans.
Go back to our callers. Ryan is with us in Glendale. Ryan, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. As divisive as I find, and distasteful because of its divisiveness, that I find this in the short term, I think in the long run it's going to be necessary to criminally prosecute these false electors in Wisconsin and elsewhere, because failure to do so is sort of a tacit endorsement of these kinds of electoral shenanigans, to use your guest phrase, and that if there's not any kind of criminal prosecution, wherever the chips may fall as a result of that prosecution, these kind of tactics are still seen as options in the future.
Interesting, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Adam, yeah, why not alternate electors in every state if there's no consequences?
I think you're exactly right. I think we talk a lot about legal precedent, which we don't have a lot of here, but there is such a thing as political precedent. And when one has claims the right or the blank check to be able to do something and doesn't quite get to do it this time around, it just opens the door for the person to do it again in the future. And that's why I think it should be, as your caller, I think, rightly points out, it is frustrating. It is distasteful. It is difficult to see us prosecuting former elected officials and indicting, you know, citizens who are trying to be electors. But at the same time, I think the thing that needs to be bear in mind is that this really is a bipartisan issue. If you're not afraid or concerned with the things that happen now, imagine if the other party did this in the future. Imagine if the next person in power did this. Would you want that to happen? And I think those kinds of universal and mutually agreed upon rules are literally the heart and soul of our government. And if we begin to reject those, then we really are becoming just a massively fractured community that would do its best to simply separate itself from one another.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Tom joins us now in Madison. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. I'd first like to point out that it is high time we just abolish the Electoral College on the basis that those people get to vote twice and nobody else does. But my main point is that the people who participated in this fraud and scam knew it was a fraud and a scam from day one. They should be held criminally and civilly liable 100%. And if we could strip them of their right to vote in the future, that would be the absolute perfect solution.
Tom, thanks for the call. Adam, I know some of the Michigan electors who are facing felony charges said they were misled. They said that they did what they were told by legal counsel. Does it matter if they can establish that, no, they did this thinking it was a legitimate exercise?
Well, that always is a defense to conspiracy. Many of these people are going to be charged as not as actual actors, but as part of a conspirators to committing this. So, for example, here in Wisconsin, they would probably be charged under a similar forgery law that is being cited in Michigan. Our forgery law makes it a Class H felony and 6 years of jail time and a fine. And part of that, though, is you have to prove that the person knowingly intended to do this. And the co-conspirators have to essentially have similar levels of understanding. They have to essentially know that they're in on it, or that they reasonably had to know that they were in on it. And so that will be ultimately the question here. I think there in all of these cases, it is going to come down to circumstantial evidence. What was said over text messages? What was communicated to people? We do know that Chesbro and Tropas, they did advise people to meet. They did enlist State Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald to find them a room on the Capitol grounds to have the meeting. We know that the meeting took place, and we know that the electors signed a document, and that document was sent to Congress in the effort to try to get it certified. Now, what those individual electors were knowing at the time, that's the key question.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Adam Coates from UW-Eau Claire, political scientist. He was with us to talk about potential legal consequences for the Wisconsin Republicans who signed documents claiming to be electors for Donald Trump. This coming up after the 2020 election.